Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, and to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord! How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. Verses 1 through 10, Psalm 112. Thank you, Father, once again, for the wonderful privilege, the blessing, the grace that's ours as we simply have the wonderful opportunity to open your word and spend time in conversation with you every single day. Lord, thank you for the fact that you're a heavenly Father, that you'll spend as much time with us as we will spend with you. What a blessing it is for us to open your word and allow and have your word to pour grace, power, counsel, wisdom, strength, and encouragement into our hearts, our minds, our lives. Help us to be wise enough to fill our hearts, our minds, our lives with your word more and more faithfully with every passing day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson, our producer, is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your scriptures that teach us. Thank you so much for your word that teaches us. And Father, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that reveals your truths to us. Father, thank you so much also for Jesus, where we can look at his example and we can strive to be like you. Thank you so much, Father, for these moments that we can spend to delve into scripture. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and reveal your truths to us so that we could grow more in you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We'd like to say a big thank you to all of our listeners who responded and were a part of the campaign for the last couple weeks, working in conjunction with the great national ministry, Preborn. Our goal was to help help invite people to make pledges to help accomplish more than 4,500 free ultrasounds. And by the grace of God, we ended up with just not too many, shy of 6,000. So God greatly, greatly blessed. And thank you again for your generosity. Every single listener that called in and responded and was a part of that, even beyond this important campaign, we would encourage you, please find your local pregnancy clinic. Find out where they are. Pray daily for them. And I would encourage you, prayerfully consider just deciding that you're going to become a monthly giver. Because again, pregnancy clinics are doing a wonderful work in sharing the gospel and doing discipleship work and loving moms who may find themselves expecting a baby at a tough time. So they need your prayers. But please continue to pray also for the National Ministry of Preborn in the great work and mission they continue to carry forward. We want to take time to share a discipleship article entitled "The High Priority of Discipling Our Children." And a reminder, once again, please do email us to get a copy for your personal use. Also, our goal is that you'll use it as a tool to disciple your family and a tool to share with others, to forward it to family, friends, loved ones, co-workers, fellow church members, saved and unsaved individuals as well. Remember, each of these articles is a seed that you can plant in the life of others as we work together to do the work of discipleship, evangelism, and discipleship. Again, the title of this article, And, of course, if you want to email us to get a copy, my email, once again, is joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Again, this title, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Then Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 7. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. That is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Parents carry their children in their hearts. Their children are very important to them and precious to them. As parents, we want the absolute best for all of our children in every aspect of life. A very important truth for all parents to be mindful of is that the best we can give our children is Jesus. The greatest gift that they can ever receive in life is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. As their Lord and Savior, Jesus is eternal life. So as parents, we're very wise to do all that we can to help and encourage our children to receive Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Once your child is saved, it is one of the greatest responsibilities of Christian parents to disciple them. It's our calling from the Lord to help and guide our children to become strong, vibrant believers who love and follow Jesus Christ in their life and lifestyle. Why is this so important? First of all, we're commanded to make disciples, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And this very important calling is to start with ourselves and then more directly to our families, our spouses, and children. So in considering the great responsibility of discipling our children, just what are some steps or practical, quote-unquote, building blocks we're wise to utilize? What are things we can do to effectively and practically carry out this important responsibility and calling? Let's consider a few things a parent can do to help their children to begin to grow up in the Lord. The following are some practical things, ideas, and suggestions Christian parents can do to help and encourage their children to come to know the Lord and to grow in their faith as well. Daily, pray with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them and allow them to lead the words. Allow them to lead in prayer sometimes. Pray Psalm 91 daily with your children and allow them to hear you call their name out in prayer. Give your children incentives to memorize and learn Bible-based prayers. Again, that's the first one listed. The next one, have your child read no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God daily. You can find shorter chapters, Psalms, or simply select a given passage for younger children. For children who do not yet know how to read, let them repeat short chapters or passages after you. And let them do these before you and with you out loud to you. Some of those passages for younger children could be Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, and there are several others. Next, ask your child questions about what was read. What are 2 or 3 important things he or she heard or picked up from the passage they have just read? What stood out? Next, teach your children to obey the word of God. Teach them to be doers of the word of God and not hearers only. See James 1:22. Next, teach your children the meaning of each of the Ten Commandments and have them to memorize the Ten Commandments. Teach them to pray the Ten Commandments every day for the church and our nation. And then next, also parents, it's very important to recognize this reality. Someone or something will disciple your child one way or another. In other words, certain people or things will capture your child's attention, interest, and/or heart in this world. Some of these are celebrities, sports figures, television, the internet, things on his or her cell phone, video games, people they meet in chat rooms, etc. Some topics that they come across on the internet may captivate them in their mind and interest. And yes, these things can begin to, quote unquote, disciple our children. Some of these things can begin to mold their thoughts, their thinking, and their perspectives about life and the world in too many wrong and twisted ways. And too often, the results can be tragic. Consider sad incidents that you may hear of too often in our news. Some of these news stories that have happened in recent times include a teenage boy who was shot and killed by an individual as he tried to run away after stealing something out of a store. Secondly, elementary-age children attempting and sometimes succeeding in committing suicide. Next, young people committing suicide after being bullied online or in school. The next one, three young girls went off into the woods and two of them tried to stab the third one to death. By the grace of God, the young lady, she survived. But where do these young women get the idea of wanting to murder their peer? Another story, a teen recently walked into his school and began to shoot, murdering a number of their classmates. And tragically, we could go on and on with the news stories. Where do these children and youths get the ideas and thoughts to do such things? Too often the devil, through the internet and social media, TV and movies, is discipling our children in darkness. Too often these young people are consuming darkness by the gallon. Some of these youths may attend church, but many of them, while they consume darkness and put so much negative info and ideas into their minds, may literally never or almost never even open a Bible and read it. Parents, without question, we have much work to do in discipling our own children. And we have much work to do through the church in reaching youths in our communities. Yet greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We do not have to be fearful and afraid. We simply have to trust our Heavenly Father and diligently be about his business. God can work through each of us as parents and adults who work with young people to help our children greatly in helping them to grow up in their faith. Not only can we help them to avoid being victims of this world, but we can also help them to become kingdom warriors, a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem in the world. And as kingdom warriors, they can help to bring Christ, the solution to all of the world's problems, to a world that desperately needs them, to young people, their peers, and to the rest of the world as well. Again, the title of this article is The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us as parents and grandparents and those that work with young people, the opportunity to share the gospel with them and to help them to grow up in their faith. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would empower us to be passionately committed and diligent believers who are doing just that, discipling our children, helping them to come to know Christ, helping them to become prayer warriors, helping them to become students of your word, helping them to become hearers and doers of your word as well. Set us on fire with a passion to be about the work of discipleship every day, being disciples and making disciples and doing much with our children. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
But you are the living word, say it now. Come on.
Sent down from glory. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Sent down from glory.
Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
The music of Fred Hammond with You Are the Living Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now in the Old Testament, reading through the Word of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, beginning at verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. During the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, Josiah began to seek the God of his ancestor David. Then in the 12th year, he began to purify Judah and Jerusalem, destroying all the pagan shrines, the Asherah poles, and the carved idols and cast images. He ordered that the altars of Baal be demolished and that the incense altars which stood above them be broken down. He also made sure that the Asherah poles, the carved idols, and the cast images were smashed and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the pagan priests on their own altars, and so he purified Judah and Jerusalem. He did the same thing in the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, even as far as Naphtali, and in the regions all around them. He destroyed the pagan altars and the Asherah poles, and he crushed the idols into dust. He cut down all the incense altars throughout the land of Israel. Finally, he returned to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of his reign, after he had purified the land and the temple, Josiah appointed Shaphan, son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the governor of Jerusalem, and Joah, son of Joahaz, the royal historian, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. They gave Hilkiah the high priest the money that had been collected by the Levites who served as gatekeepers at the temple of God. The gifts were brought by people from Manasseh, Ephraim, and from all the remnant of Israel, as well as from all Judah, Benjamin, and the people of Jerusalem. He entrusted the money to the men assigned to supervise the restoration of the Lord's temple. Then they paid the woodworkers who did the repairs and renovation of the temple. They hired carpenters and builders who purchased finished stone for the walls and timber for the rafters and beams. They restored what earlier kings of Judah had allowed to fall into ruin. The workers served faithfully under the leadership of Jahath and Obadiah, Levites of the Merarite clan, and Zechariah and Meshullam, Levites of the Kohathite clan. Other Levites, all of whom were skilled musicians, were put in charge of the laborers of the various trades. Still others assisted as secretaries, officials, and gatekeepers. While they were bringing out the money collected at the Lord's temple, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that was written by Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the court secretary, "I found the book of the law in the Lord's temple." Then Hilkiah gave the scroll to Shaphan. Shaphan took the scroll to the king and reported, "Your officials are doing everything they were assigned to do. The money that was collected at the temple of the Lord has been turned over to the supervisors and workmen." Shaphan also told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a scroll. So Shaphan read it to the king. When the king heard what was written in the law, he tore his clothes in despair. Then he gave these orders to Hilkiah, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the court secretary, and Asaiah as the king's personal advisor. Go to the temple and speak to the Lord for me and for all the remnant of Israel and Judah. Inquire about the words written in the scroll that has been found. For the Lord's great anger has been poured out on us because our ancestors have not obeyed the word of the Lord. We have not been doing everything this scroll says we must do. So Hilkiah and the other men went to the new quarter of Jerusalem to consult with the prophet Huldah. She was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, son of Harhas, the keeper of the temple wardrobe. She said to them, "The Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken. Go back and tell the man who sent you, 'This is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this city and its people. All the curses written in the scroll that was read to the king of Judah will come true. For my people have abandoned me and offered sacrifices to pagan gods, and I am very angry with them for everything they have done. My anger will be poured out on this place, and it will not be quenched. But go to the king of Judah, who sent you, to seek the Lord and tell him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the message you have just heard. You were sorry and humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this city and its people. You humbled yourself and tore your clothing in despair and wept before me in repentance. And I have indeed heard you, says the Lord. So I will not send the promised disaster until after you have died and been buried in peace. You yourself will not see the disaster I'm going to bring on this city and its people.' So they took their message back to the king. Then the king summoned all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up to the temple of the Lord with all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, along with the priests and the Levites, all the people from the greatest to the least. There the king read to them the entire book of the covenant that had been found in the Lord's temple. The king took his place of authority beside the pillar and renewed the covenant in the Lord's presence. He pledged to obey the Lord by keeping all his commands, laws, and decrees with all his heart and soul. He promised to obey all the terms of the covenant that were written in the scroll, and he required everyone in Jerusalem and the people of Benjamin to make a similar pledge. The people of Jerusalem did so, renewing their covenant with God, the God of their ancestors. So Josiah removed all detestable idols from the entire land of Israel and required everyone to worship the Lord their God. And throughout the rest of his lifetime, they did not turn away from the Lord, the God of their ancestors. 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Then Josiah announced that the Passover of the Lord would be celebrated in Jerusalem. And so the Passover lamb was slaughtered on the 14th day of the first month. Josiah also assigned the priests to their duties and encouraged them in their work as the temple of the Lord. Encouraged them in their work at the temple of the Lord. He issued this order to the Levites, who were to teach all Israel and who had been set apart to serve the Lord. Put the holy ark in the temple that was built by Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel. You no longer need to carry it back and forth on your shoulders. Now spend your time serving the Lord your God and his people Israel. Report for duty according to the family divisions of your ancestors, following the directions of King David of Israel and the direction of his son Solomon. Then stand in the sanctuary at the place appointed for your family division and help the families assigned to you as they bring their offerings to the temple. Slaughter the Passover lambs, purify yourselves, and prepare to help those who come. Follow all the directions that the Lord gave through Moses. Then Josiah provided 30,000 lambs and young goats for the people's Passover offerings, along with 3,000 cattle, all from the king's own flocks and herds. The king's officials also made willing contributions to the people, priests, and Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jehiel, the administrators of God's temple, gave the priests 2,600 lambs and young goats and 300 cattle as Passover offerings. The Levite leaders, Conaniah and his brothers, Shemaiah and Nethanel, as well as Hushabiah, Jael, and Jozabad, gave 5,000 lambs and young goats and 500 cattle to the Levites for their Passover offerings. When everything was ready for the Passover celebration, the priests and the Levites took their places, organized by their divisions, as the king had commanded. The Levites then slaughtered the Passover lambs and presented the blood to the priests, who sprinkled the blood on the altar while the Levites prepared the animals. They divided the burnt offerings among the people by their family groups, so they could offer them to the Lord as prescribed in the book of Moses. They did the same with the cattle. Then they roasted the Passover lambs as prescribed, and they boiled the holy offerings in pots, kettles, and pans, and brought them out quickly so the people could eat them. Afterward, the Levites prepared Passover offerings for themselves and for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, because the priests had been busy from morning till night offering the burnt offerings and the fat portions. The Levites took responsibility for all these preparations. The musicians, descendants of Asaph, were in their assigned places, following the commands that had been given by David, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer. The gatekeepers guarded the gates and did not need to leave their posts of duty, for their Passover offerings were prepared for them by their fellow Levites. The entire ceremony for the Lord's Passover was completed that day. All the burnt offerings were sacrificed on the altar of the Lord, as King Josiah had commanded. All the Israelites present in Jerusalem celebrated Passover and the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. Never since the time of the prophet Samuel had there been such a Passover. None of the kings of Israel had ever kept a Passover as Josiah did, involving all the priests and Levites, all the people of Jerusalem, and people from all over Judah and Israel. This Passover was celebrated in the 18th year of Josiah's reign. After Josiah had finished restoring the temple, King Necho of Egypt led his army up from Egypt to do battle at Carchemish on the Euphrates River, and Josiah and his army marched out to fight him. But King Necho sent messengers to Josiah with this message: "What do you want with me, King Josiah? I have no quarrel with you today. I'm on my way to fight another nation, and God has told me to hurry. Do not interfere with God, who is with me, or he will destroy you." But Josiah refused to listen to Necho, to whom God had indeed spoken, and he would not turn back. Instead, he disguised himself and led his army into battle on the plain of Megiddo. But the enemy archers hit King Josiah with their arrows and wounded him. He cried out to his men, "Take me from the battle, for I am badly wounded." So they lifted Josiah out of his chariot and placed him in another chariot. Then they brought him back to Jerusalem, where he died. He was buried there in the royal cemetery, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for him. The prophet Jeremiah composed funeral songs for Josiah, and to this day, choirs still sing these and songs about his death. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. That was 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verses 1 to 25. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Jennifer Meikle with Great God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Then one of the teachers of religious law said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. Another of his disciples said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, Follow me now. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus responded, Why are you afraid? You have so little faith. You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and waves obey him. When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake, in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him, Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time? There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance. So the demons begged, If you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs. All right, go, Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town, telling everyone what happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, Be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God? Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen, and they praised God for giving humans such authority. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus told him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. One day, the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do? Jesus replied, do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with a new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. Verses 1 through 16, Matthew chapter 9. Thank you, Father, again for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to read and meditate on your word each and every day. Thank you for all of us that make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. And thank you, Lord, for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for all the believers and persons that we've prayed for today. And thank you for those that are part of our listening family. Today, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today, we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler, and so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We've been reading through the Word of God on an ongoing basis. We want to continue to encourage you along this line. If you're not reading your Bible every day, we would encourage you to start that habit of reading no less than 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. That's a habit that will bless your socks off, a habit that will bless you tremendously, because it's a habit that can consistently help to cause grace to pour into your life as you read and meditate on God's Word each and every day. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you have never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer of salvation, for salvation, with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You live. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me, Lord, to obey your word daily and as a lifestyle. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you did pray and commit your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We want to be sure and be in touch. My email, again, is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us so we can share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and get in touch. We definitely want to be in touch with you and get that information to you. Or if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, the article is entitled, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Same email. We're glad to get it to you as well. Thank you for listening. Again, if you're not reading 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a great day to start that very fruitful and blessed habit. Hope that you will take the time to start that today. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.